I'm Nancy Rosenbaum, associate producer with Speaking of Faith. Dharma teacher Sherry Maples has studied with Vietnamese Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh for nearly two decades. She was a guest in our 2003 program, Brother Thay, a Radio Pilgrimage with Thich Nhat Hanh. Back then, Maples worked as a police officer in Madison, Wisconsin. She later became an assistant attorney general for the Wisconsin Department of Justice. I spoke with Sherry Maples in November 2009 to find out what's changed in her life since we last sat down with her, including her unexpected trip to Vietnam with Thich Nhat Hanh.
I ended up going to Vietnam with Thay in 2007. And the only reason that I ended up going to Vietnam was because a Republican beat the Democratic Attorney General and came in and got rid of those of us that were his appointees. So I said, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to go to Vietnam with Thay. And it was actually on that trip that a lot of things happened, and probably as a result of that trip that Thay made me a Dharma teacher.
Can you tell me a story about something that happened? It sounds like some unexpected things.
Oh, some unexpected things really took place. Probably the greatest story that I can tell you about it is we were at Thay's Root Temple, which is in Hue, central Vietnam. And it was really fun to see this temple that Thay was a 16-year-old monastic at. But he's quite revered in that area. That's where he came from. And so he gave a public talk at the end of the week that we happened to be in Hue. And there were venerable Buddhists inside the temple. There was room for nobody else. There were so many people inside the temple. But it looked to me like the whole city was spread out along and around the temple, along the lawn. So they had video screens up. They had sound systems. And everything was in Vietnamese. So those of us that were traveling with Thay, who spoke other languages, were hooked up into this translation equipment. And I'm sitting there listening to Thay's wonderful talk, and all of a sudden I hear Sherry Maples this and Sherry Maples that. And then it's followed by, I think we invite her up here to talk. So not knowing that that was going to happen, I had to first get through the crowd to find my way onto the stage with Thich Nhat Hanh and address all these venerables on the spur of the moment, not being told what he wanted me to talk about or anything else. But I gave this probably little 15 to 20 minute Dharma talk, and it was very challenging because I had to wait for each phrase to be translated. But I think that was my test.
What did you talk about?
I talked about how the practice basically had transformed me over time, and how I looked at public safety now, and how I had been able to use these particular techniques and things that I had learned to be not only more creative about public safety, but to connect with the people that I was encountering. I gave them some specific examples of how much more effective policing is when you have officers who are committed to coordinated community efforts and who are coordinated to building relationships with the people, and when you substitute that for relying strictly on the authority of having the authority of the state and the use of force as a mechanism to keep the peace, that it's not nearly as effective. So I talked basically about that.
And what came out of that unexpected talk?
Well, what was really interesting to me is we all wore these gray robes. These are temple robes. You don't go into a Buddhist temple without wearing gray robes. So most of us that were traveling with the Sangha wore these gray robes. And I would be walking down the street and people would pull me aside and they would be brushing me off, and they would be taking lint off of me and then standing me in front of somebody to have a picture taken. So this was really, and there were other reactions. It seemed like wherever I went, people knew that there was this very strange police officer who was talking about policing in a way that they hadn't heard somebody talk about it before. Other things that happened is I would see the communist police officers, make eye contact with them and bow to them and try to have some interactions with them. And it got back to me that some people actually thought that the translation was wrong, that they weren't effectively or truthfully translating what I had to say because a police officer wouldn't say those things. I also had wonderful experiences after that where a young Vietnamese woman came up to me and said, could I practice my English with you? And I said, sure. And so she became my personal tour guide, and I got to go to her home and spend some time with the Vietnamese family. So it was a lovely opportunity in many, many ways. Thay and I, in the Sangha, went to Hanoi, and that was about the only place we ended. I ended my part of the trip there that we didn't receive a really warm welcome. That's the seat of the communist government, and he took two of us, who were lay people and about four or five monastics, along to this meeting. It sounds like an oxymoron, but the minister of religion for the communist government. And the conversation was in Vietnamese, so I couldn't understand it, but by the tone I realized it was very interesting. And then after that, there were six of us along, and Thay wanted to go to a bookstore, so here I am in a bookstore with Thich Nhat Hanh, and then he wanted to do walking meditation around this lake, and these tourist things that are up on the walls in this area we were doing walking meditation were in Vietnamese. So here's Thich Nhat Hanh serving as my personal tour guide, translating these things for me. So for me, it was very wonderful and heartwarming. And I met a lot of people from the International Sangha over there and had an opportunity to get to know the monastics better. And at the end of that trip is when I was told that Thay wanted to make me a Dharma teacher.
And so, what does that mean?
What that means is that's the equivalent of a minister or a priest or a rabbi in the Judeo-Christian tradition. So basically, I hold my own retreats now, and I do my own teaching. I'm still trying to bring mindfulness to the criminal justice system. I do a lot of health and wellness trainings. I do a lot of teaching criminal justice professionals and holding workshops for them about what happens over the course of their career and some tools they can use to prevent those things from happening, because what I noticed is we lose people emotionally, not physically, and that there is a lot of secondary trauma in the police profession that's never recognized or talked about.
Is that something you were aware of when you and Krista spoke in 2003?
I don't think I was aware of it in the same way as when I started really focusing on it, because as I started really paying attention to it, by that time I was the captain of personnel and training and in charge of all the training and hiring and firing for the police department. And as I watched these young officers that we had hired come in and knew their values and had sat on in interviews and watched them change in 3 years' time, I said to myself, we're losing people emotionally. And then I looked at this, we're teaching them how to take care of themselves physically, but we're not giving them the emotional tools they need. But the other thing I got very interested in and made a personal commitment to was really trying to address the racial disparities in the system. So I do a lot of training and have done a lot of training with criminal justice professionals and other helping professionals around the issue of unconscious bias and white privilege. A lot of experiential learning, and those have been really meaningful to me also. And so I am now, if you go to the website called the Center for Mindfulness and Justice, you'll see that I'm the co-founder of an organization called the Center for Mindfulness and Justice. And all I've done is pull everything that I've been doing together under one roof. So I've been leading some workshops with Sharon Salzberg. I went out to Washington, D.C. to do a few things with Tara Brach Sangha. So I've been busy. But it is wonderful because it feels like everything that I've done has led to the culmination of this by paying attention to my intentions and paying attention to what was going on inside. I think I've been able to align my inner and outer worlds in a way that most people never have the privilege to think about and do, so that I can really say that the things in my life that are most important to me are not at the mercy of the things that are least important. And my practice has made it possible to have the life I have. And when I went to Plum Village to be ordained by Thich Nhat Hanh, who, as you probably know, we call Thai, which means teacher in Vietnamese, there was a lovely ceremony where he actually it's called transmitting the lamp. So he actually transmitted the lamp to me, which comes from generations of teachers. And we exchanged gathas, and he gave a little personal talk to me, and I will never forget the end of that talk, because he talked about how important it was to bring this work to the criminal justice system, and his hope that and his inspiration and his vision that someday Vietnamese and American police officers would be practicing together. But what he said that was so touching to me was that you've shown that even something like carrying a gun can be an act of love. So that was very powerful. I had tears running down my face, and then I gave a talk to the entire Sangha that was gathered, and it was very touching. It was very wonderful, and my life is good. I certainly have the same challenges the rest of us have, but life is life. It just keeps coming, and we weave it into this magical tapestry with a spirit of acceptance and surrender and joy and understanding. It is what it is.
To hear our 2003 program with Sherry Maples and Thich Nhat Hanh, visit our website and look for links to Brother Thai, a radio pilgrimage with Thich Nhat Hanh, at speakingoffaith.org.